Good morning, brothers and sisters. This God's love, Christ's love within us. We need to care one another in this church. Great example is Jesus Christ. He himself is caring us, looking after us. He is the best model to care the church. After him, we have ministers in our churches. There are many ministers in the churches who looks after the church, who cares the church, spiritual life. We know many ministers in the churches. They are not faithful. They are not caring about the church. Preaching false teaching. They are not thinking about the church. Just they are thinking about themselves. By God's grace, Jesus Christ kept some ministers who cares for his church. We are continuing in the series of Colossians today also. We focus on Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 23. If you remember last time, just we have discussed Paul's care for the church. Paul has concern, care upon the church. That's what he explains from verse 24 onwards. Just open your Bible, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 3. It says like this: Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Verse 29. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. We have finished chapter 1, verse 24 to verse 27. That is our first sermon, part 1. Today we are going to focus verse 28 and 29. Next time, next Sunday, we will look at chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Because we have many things to do. Our beloved brother, Glenn, he slept in Christ. So we have to go there. So just today, we focus verse 28 to 29. Beside that, we have other programs. So please look at verse 28 and 29 briefly. If you see this passage, we can say clearly, Paul's care for church. If you look at verse 24, he says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. In my flesh I do share on behalf of his body. He says, verse 25, of the church I was made a minister according to the stewardship. He says, verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom. If you look at verse chapter 2, verse 1, he says, For I want to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea. We can say clearly that a minister's care for the church. We have seen four acts of, I told four acts of a minister that prove his care for the church. First act of a minister that prove his care for the church, just I am giving overall review. The first act of minister, suffering for the church joyfully. Because he says, right, I rejoice in my suffering. We have seen two reasons why a minister rejoices in the suffering. The first reason, he suffers for the church advantage. He cannot suffer for himself, he suffers for the church advantage. The second reason why a minister rejoices in the suffering, he suffers on behalf of the church. Then we have seen last time, second act of a minister that proves his care for the church is ministering to the church faithfully. Ministering to the church faithfully. By God-given stewardship and also to preach the mystery. We have seen three truths about the mystery. The first truth about the mystery is it was hidden in the past. The second truth, it was revealed to the saints. Third truth, it was Christ is in all believers. That is the mystery. Christ is in all believers. There is no difference between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Christ is in all believers. That is the mystery. That's what Paul is preaching. For that he is ministering. He showed his care for the church by ministering the word of God. Now we move to the third act of a minister that proves his care for the church is proclaiming Christ purposefully. Proclaiming Christ purposefully. Look at verse 28 and 29. It says very clearly, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. He has purpose, right? So that we may present every man complete in Christ. So we can say clearly that the proclaiming Christ, Christ minister proclaims him purposefully. Any minister in the church, he cannot preach Christ unpurposefully. He is preaching Christ purposefully. He is working hard to preach Christ. He has the purpose. That's what we are going to see today. He says here, Paul and his co-workers preach Christ regularly. That is the idea. Proclaim. That is ongoing state. Paul had Epaphras in his mind, along with other co-workers, because he is the one who brought the gospel to Colossae. Colossians chapter 1 verse 7, it says, he reminded, Colossians chapter 1 verse 7 and 8, it says, just as you learn it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bond servant, who is faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Look at, he said plural, we proclaim. He is not only saying himself, he is adding his fellow co-workers. They are all proclaiming Christ, who is the hope of the glory, who is in all Gentile believers. If you look at the word proclaim, which means to make known in public. We can say announcing in public. Here Paul is saying that Paul and his co-workers proclaiming Christ publicly, openly he is proclaiming. Proclaiming Christ means proclaiming all his saving works. All his death, his life, his resurrection, everything about Christ he is proclaiming. Not only Paul and also co-workers. They are proclaiming Christ in publicly. They were not afraid of proclaiming Christ publicly. That's what Paul is saying. We proclaim him. Even he is proclaiming who he is. He explained in this epistle also. If you look at chapter 1 verse 15 onwards, he explains, he tells about supremacy of Christ. He says he is the image of the invisible God. He is the creator by him, through him, for him. Everything is created. He is the creator. Paul and his co-workers, they are exalting Christ. They are proclaiming Christ publicly. That's what he is saying. All preachers should preach these things of Christ. These things of Christ. Christ is the center of every preaching. Christ is the content of Paul and all his ministers' message. Christ is the content. Christ is the subject. That's what he is saying. We are proclaiming him. We are proclaiming nobody else. We are proclaiming Christ, who is supreme, who is sufficient. Like that we are serving you. In this way we are serving you. Christ ministers always serve his church by proclaiming Christ. Three things that we must know to proclaim Christ. First thing that we must know to proclaim Christ is the method of proclaiming Christ. You may think pastors or ministers, that is their job. See, even this is your job, proclaiming Christ. This is your job. This is also your job. So to proclaim Christ, you need to know three things. The first thing is the method of proclaiming Christ. How we can proclaim Christ? In what ways we can proclaim Christ? Look at verse 28, he says. Two methods to proclaim Christ. The first method to proclaim Christ is correcting every man. Correcting every man. It is clear, right? Look at verse 28. He says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man. The meaning of the word admonishing in Greek, literally, to set right. To set right. I may give an example to understand. If any person's leg is bent because of accident, people take him to the hospital. The doctor will use some techniques to set the leg in right position. Sometimes hand is become like this. Head is, legs become in the wrong position. The doctor uses techniques, right, to make that one in right position. If he is not able to do it, he will do operation. Then he will put some rods so that he can make straight. So that he can make straight. The same idea used here. Admonishing means to set right. Spiritually, we can say setting the mind of someone in proper order. Christian's mind is not in proper order. You need to set. We are setting the minds of the people in proper order. We can say correcting someone, warning. We can understand this word very clearly. Counseling to avoid improper conduct. Counseling to avoid improper conduct. Here Paul is saying that he was setting the mind of every man in proper order. He was setting right of their characters. He and all his co-workers, Epaphras, were counseling to avoid the improper conduct. That's what it means. Christians are not behaving themselves. They are not following the word of God. Pastors, ministers, Paul, he is setting their mind in proper way. That's the idea. And also it is present tense, which means Paul and Epaphras were continually correcting the improper conduct of believers. If you look at Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 31 says, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Paul explains why he was correcting every man night and day for 3 years with 3 years with tears. He was crying and he is correcting 3 years. 3 years. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 14, he says, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. As my beloved children. A godly man, a godly minister cannot use his words to shame, but to admonish, to correct his flock as his beloved children. As his beloved family. admonishing must fill with a lot of love towards those whom we are admonishing. That's what idea. Why I am correcting you, why I am warning you, why I am making your mind, your character straight? Because I love you. Because I love you. If you don't follow the word of God, if you won't receive our corrections, you may do many damages. That's why he is loving his family. He is correcting. Brothers and sisters, every pastor wants his flock under Jesus Christ with lot of love. He knew what happens if he does not correct you. There will be great consequences that you have to bear if you don't avoid your improper conduct. A minister knows, a pastor knows. That's why he corrects you. That same, you should not feel bad. Don't feel bad if your pastor or a mature Christian, when he is correcting you, please accept it. Because that is for your spiritual welfare only. Not only that, are you warning your fellow brothers and sisters? If they are apart from Bible, if they are doing sin, are you correcting? Brothers and sisters, this is not only pastor's job, but everyone's job in this church. Here I want to address two things to all, whether you are a common believer, or leaders, or upcoming ministers. The first thing I want to remind, some of us won't correct others. You mind your own business, right? You mind your own business. Most of the time, minding your own business is good. But not all the time. You need to correct your own brothers and sisters. That is not biblical, minding your own business all the time. You need to mind others' business because it is biblical. Even Paul is minding others' business because for the Christ glory. Not doing asking other things, doing other things to correct our beloved brothers and sisters. I told you, brothers and sisters. Second thing I want to remind. Some of us take advantage of it. Some of us, they are silent. They won't correct anybody. Some of us takes advantage of this verse, scolding, insulting that person. Some of us must learn how to correct. Should correct them privately, gently. After correcting them, don't talk about that matter with anybody else. In the churches, we correct one another, but we will discuss same thing with others. So that person will come to know one day, "Are, he is not correcting me, but he is telling everybody he is correcting me." Then he won't listen. She won't listen to you. So we need to think about carefully. We need to correct one another, correct our beloved brothers, but with precautions, with gently. The second method to proclaim Christ is instructing every man. Look at verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing, that means correcting every man, and also teaching every man with all wisdom. With all wisdom. Meaning of the word teaching is to tell someone what to do, to provide instruction in a formal way or informal setting. To cause to learn. You are helping your brother, your sister to learn. You are teaching. Paul and his colleagues are also involved in teaching. Through teaching, Christ is proclaimed. Through preaching, Christ is proclaimed. See here, listen carefully. We not only correcting always, we will teach. We will give our wisdom. We will teach Bible to others. Paul is saying that I am not only admonishing, always correcting, and also I am teaching you. I am teaching you. Like that I am serving you. This is ongoing teaching of Paul and his co-workers. And also it is in wisdom, right? Look at verse 28. What he says, teaching every man with all wisdom. With all wisdom. The wisdom is totally against the Colossians heretics. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. I am teaching you, we are teaching you with all wisdom. Where is wisdom? With whom all wisdom hidden? Look at chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3, it says. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says. Attaining all the wealth that comes from full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ. If you know Christ, you know wisdom. You have wisdom, you have knowledge. With that wisdom, you need to teach. If you don't know Christ, you don't have wisdom. You cannot teach others. Paul cannot teach others. That means you must know the Christ. You must know the scripture to teach others. Why should I teach others? You should teach others because it is biblical. It is biblical. You need to teach others when they are doing something wrong. When some immature people beside you, you need to teach. That is your responsibility. If you look at these phrases, he says, every man, he says every man, admonishing every man, teaching every man. He used singular, which shows that each person individually was the subject of apostle's care. I can see many members here. Each person is the subject of apostle's care, the pastor's care, minister's care. Every person in this church is very, very important. Every person should be shepherded by pastor, minister. That's what Paul is saying. Admonishing every man, teaching every man, every man, every man. Everybody important, brothers and sisters. That's what a pastor thinks. A biblical pastor, a minister, he thinks about everybody, everybody. He may not think everybody at the same time, but he thinks each person different times. That's what we can understand, pastor's care for the church. If you know 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging, imploring each one of you as father would his own children. Paul, he's exhorting, encouraging, imploring each one of you, each one of you. Every man in Cornerstone Community Church is important. You are under the concern of a pastor, ultimately under Jesus Christ. He cares. He cares for you. That's why we teach, right? Sunday morning, verse to verse, we exposition, we preach. Bible study we take. Why we are teaching? Because pastors care his church, their church. But that should be our goal, right? Not only pastors, we need to teach our beloved brothers and sisters. No, look at chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Why I am saying you have responsibility of teaching and warning, to warning others. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Are you teaching your fellow Christians? My fellow Christians, are you teaching your fellow Christians when they are weak? That is your responsibility. Again, I am saying, most of the time, mind your own business. Sometimes mind your Christian's business. Because that is our responsibility. But here, Bible gives some instructions in the Bible. There are some instructions in the Bible. and who should teach whom? An elder lady has to warn and teach younger women. Most of elder women, they are not doing this. Just doing other things. Are you teaching? Are you warning the younger women if they are not obeying Christ? An elder man should warn and teach younger men. Are you doing elderly persons? You know many things, right? You heard many scripture, right? Are you discipling the younger men? That is your responsibility. A mature person should teach a warn a immature person. We need to teach one another. We need to warn one another for His glory. Second thing that we must know to proclaim Christ is the goal of proclaiming Christ. The goal of proclaiming Christ. Look at verse 28, part B. It says, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Here Paul is saying, stating that the purpose of proclaiming Christ, this is to present every man complete or a mature in Christ. If you understand, if you say, why you are a pastor, a minister, a brother, why you are teaching, why you are warning again and again, it is very important. I will tell you why. If you are teaching your son or daughter how to drive car, when he is driving car, instead of pressing brake, he is pressing accelerator, right? Accelerator. Then you teach him, you warn him, don't press that. You press only brake. If you are not pressing brake, then you are going to bang car or person. Then you will warn. Then you will teach him how to drive. Which gear you need to put, which speed you need to go. You explain, you teach everything. Then again you will warn, you will teach, you warn, you will teach. Why? So that he may be perfect driver. He may be perfect driver. This is for small things. You need to practice, you will teach, you will warn. Even your children, right? If they are not listening, you will warn. Then again you will teach. Anything else. For spiritual things, definitely you need teachings and warnings. Maturity is possible only through proclaiming Christ by admonishing and instructing. That's why Paul is doing, that's why all his co-workers were doing. They have great goal. In the same way, you need to warn and teach. Teach and warn your fellow brothers and sisters. Look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 22. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22. It says, the goal of our reconciliation is also our maturity. Look at chapter 1 verse 22. It says, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy, blameless and beyond reproach. The goal of our reconciliation also, to make us perfect, to make us complete in Christ. Even though Paul knew their faith and their love, their hope of this church, he wants the church must be mature in Christ. He told right in the beginning, we heard, we are giving thanks to God, God the Father, because we heard your faith, we heard about your love, we heard about your hope. Even though he knew they have love, they have faith, they have hope, again he is telling, why we are preaching? Because you must be perfect. His aim is that each one should reach perfection, becoming like Christ. Why he is saying like that? Because if you look at chapter 3 verse 5 to 9, there are many sins, list of sins. He says verse 5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as a debt to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and greed, which amounts to the idolatry. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Colossians, they are lying one another. Did you understand what Paul is saying? Even though they are Christians, they have lots of sin among them. They are immoral people. They are having many sins. Their speech is not good. That's why Paul is saying, why we are proclaiming Christ, why we should admonish, teach Christ, because of perfection. Because of perfection. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That is the goal of God. God's plan is, he wants to make us into the image of his Son. How can God conform us to the image of his Son? Through admonishing and teaching. Without word of God, without teaching, how he can make us in his image? 1 John chapter 2 verse 6, it says, the one who says he abides in him ought to himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Why all ministers are teaching and correcting? So that every man ought to walk in the same manner as Christ walked. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we read the scripture, so that we may be complete, perfect, blameless when Jesus comes. That is the goal. That is the purpose we must have when we are proclaiming Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you have this goal when you are teaching and admonishing others? Look at fellow brothers and sisters. They are not perfect in Christ. Even now. They may be having the same sins as Colossians. If you understand, if you come to know, you need to teach, admonish. Because you have a great goal, right? You need to pray for those so that they may be complete in Christ. They may become mature day and night, more days to come. Third thing that we must know to proclaim Christ is the labor of proclaiming Christ. The labor of proclaiming Christ. Look at verse 29. It says, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Look at the word labor. Labor means to grow weary, tired, exhausted, to labor with wearisome effort, to toil. Did you see the builders? Builders, they will carry the stones, they will carry cement packet, they work hard. They toil, right? The same way, the same word he is using, laboring. Laboring like farmer, laboring like constructor. Not only that, he said striving. Striving means figuratively to contend, struggle with difficulties to make mature Christians. He is fighting, he is struggling so that he may make his Christians to become perfect. Because he has many problems, right? He was facing false teachers. Many things to do. For that, he gave motivation also, right? How can he do that? How can he work hard, labor, striving? He said, according to his power. Paul humbly accepted the power of God that helps or strengthens him to toil, fight against all false teachers who are enemies to the perfection of the believers. But ultimately, we will become perfect when Jesus comes. But we have responsibility. Ministers have responsibility. Every believer has responsibility to teach, to admonish, to work hard for the perfection of fellow brothers and sisters. You know, Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul cannot do this kind of work. He went through many difficulties in his life. How can he do this kind of work, labor, striving? Because of the strength of Christ. power of God in him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, it says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." God is working. God is giving strength to his ministers, to pastors, to shepherd, to teach, to admonish the church. Even God will give strength to you when you are doing these things. When you are teaching to others, he will help you to labor for his glory. God works for this goal through the word of God, through the preacher, by the Spirit of God. God will give strength if you have that commitment. Brothers and sisters, pray for your ministers so that they may be work hard to proclaim the gospel, the word of God in the church. I want to remind you of, you need to labor for your maturity, your family maturity, others' maturity. Your maturity, you need to do one thing, the simple thing, read the Bible, pray every day. Increase your Bible wisdom by reading books, listening to good sermon. Try to attend Bible study. Recognize your sin. Every day, memorize the scriptures on them. If you have, for example, if you have angry, memorize the scripture portion on angry. Then it will help you. When you are memorizing, when you are knowing that, you won't get angry. When you are going to get angry, then the scripture will remind you. The Holy Spirit will remind you. Then you will become perfect. You will become like Christ. Just I gave one example, angry. Many sins, many sins. What sin you are suffering, just you memorize those things. Work hard for your completion, complete in Christ. That is your responsibility, beside God's responsibility. Number two, family maturity. Read the Bible with your family. Pray with them. If you have children, pray with them. Tell them the stories of Christ. Tell them the Bible. And not only family, not only your maturity and also others' maturity. Have fellowship with them. Encourage them in their weakness. Praying for them. Are you praying for your fellow brothers and sisters? For their maturity? For their spiritual growth? But we need to do that. We love you, we love one another. But if you love your church, you need to pray for their spiritual growth. Do you have time to pray for them? Even you don't have time to pray for your spiritual maturity. How can you pray for others? Please think about it. Come to the reality. Don't act like unwisdom people. Those who don't have wisdom, think properly, brothers and sisters. You know the Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon. His sermons were published in printed from every week and has a high circulation. By the time of his death in 1892, he had preached nearly 3,600 sermons and published 49 volumes of commentaries, and he wrote devotions and other books. 3,600 sermons he preached entire his life, because he wants to proclaim Christ so that Christ may make the each person, every person complete in him. There are many who preach Christ purposefully. Pray for your ministers while they are caring for your soul. There are many. Even John MacArthur, he preaches every Sunday twice. Now he is not able to preach maybe twice. Many preachers, faithful preachers, they preach the word of God. They understood the word of God can change the life of people. So if you have a ministers like that, you need to pray for their spiritual life. You need to pray for their ministry. That is your responsibility. That is your responsibility. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." Your ministers keep watching your souls. And he says, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. If you are hurting your ministers, your pastors, those who look after you, if you are hurting, that is not good for your souls. God may give us that heart to pray for ministers, those who are serving us. And God may give us the heart of teaching others, warning others for His glory. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this time. Thank You, Lord, for Your word, so encouraging us. Thank You, Lord, for giving ministers, teachers, pastors in our lives, so that we can follow You, trust in You always. Lord, bless this church in a spirit of teaching one another, helping one another, encouraging one another. Thank You, Lord, for giving Pastor Sammy for us to know You more, to know Your word more. Bless him. Bless all faithful ministers, those who are serving in the world, in Your church. Lord, give them strength and courage. And also, Lord, give us strength to help them to be side with them, Lord, so that they can serve You more and more. Bless this church. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.